Let's begin on page Ein Beis, Simen Yud, Sifkaton Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Itor Gomel, a real lefty, the real deal. Person who's wired in their mind as a real lefty. Afilu nasi itor machmash hirgul es atzmei kein. No, not necessarily if you're wired like that, even if you train yourself. But the bottom line is, you've been trained from youth, and now you do everything with your left hand. You write, you eat, and you do all of your work. You bat lefty, and you pitch lefty. Everything is done, and when you sit by the computer, you put the mouse on the left side. You have a car, custom-made car, where the shift gears are on the left. The pedal, the gas pedal, is on the right, and the brake is on the left. Is that how it goes in the car? I don't remember.
Yes.
Right? So now everything is lefty. Everything has been geared. You want the stronger foot for the brake. It's interesting, right? In a car, the stronger pedal is the right. The right is the gas. And the brake is the left. So that's very strange. You would think that they should put the stronger foot
using
for you.
One foot.
What?
Using one foot. You're not using 2 feet.
You're not using both feet.
Okay, I have to concentrate now. I don't drive very much. Okay, use the same foot. Right, okay, right. I drive, of course I drive.
Many stores.
Yeah.
That had lefty items like scissors. Left hand. Lefties are just handy by scissors. I can't use left hand.
Okay, so we have here a real lefty. Itur gomor, afilu nas itur machmas shehirgul atz esas mekein, bikomokam yuniach biyamin shel kol adam. So the rule is, yuniach biyamin shel kol adam. He puts on his right hand. Why? Because the right hand is his weaker hand. Since he does everything with his left hand is now the ikur. So the tafel, the yotcho, the tefillness we put on the weaker hand is the left hand. Shehi smaller, which is his personal, which is his halachic left hand. The words here are a bit confusing. He puts on the right shel kol adam, which is his halachic left hand. You always put tefillin on your halachic left hand. Your right hand, there's a halachic right hand and a halachic left hand. The hand which you eat and you write and you do all of your labor is your halachic right hand, and the nela, the other hand, becomes your halachic left hand. Now here we come to the complicated case. The Kitzchuk Nerach is passing like the Ramah, and what does Ramah say? And if you do everything with your right hand, but rak shekoisev, you write this small with your left hand, or vice versa, hayad shekoisev bo hi chashuva yamin. The Ramah, the Shitas HaRamah, okay, many people follow this opinion. We discussed yesterday at great length. Then that becomes the ikar. You write the hand which you write with, shekoisav bahi chashuva yamin, that is called your right hand. The yaniach tefillah biyod. Notice he says here the tefillah refers to loshen yachin. Tefillin is plural. That's the set. When you refer to one of the two, the tefillin shel yad, it's called the tefillah. The yaniach tefillah biyod hashenis. You put on the tefillin on the hand that you do not write with. V'yim shoyl against the Ramah. That's many people follow that opinion. We discussed yesterday. There's another opinion. You remember who knows the other opinion? I forgot to look it up. Still, the Taz. What? Yeah.
I was told that the Vilna Gaon.
Oh, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. Yeah.
Holds that endedness, not writing.
Okay, so that's the Gra then. The Gra says you put on the Rav Moshe, Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe goes like the Gra.
It's strong for the Vilna Gaon.
The Vilna Gaon, but the Ramah, Uvnei Yisro Yatsu, you know the expression. Uvnei Yisro Yatsu Biyod Ramah. Biyod Ramah, we all follow the Ramah. Biyod Ramah, we go with the Yod Ramah, the hand that's upraised, which is an expression which we, the Ashkenazim, have accepted. We always follow the Shita of the Ramah. The Yod Chazaka, Biyod Ramah. I told you yesterday that this is debatable. Many people do follow, but I told you, people would ask him, Bar Mitzvah boys, have this shiloh, it's not so uncommon. He would tell them, if not mistaken, to follow the Ramah. Uvnei Yisrael Yotzu B'yod Ramah. People ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, he would tell them to follow the Gra, and you should follow the hand which you do most of the malacha with, the stronger, the physically stronger hand. Yesh v'yesh. And we discussed yesterday, Mikar Hadin, you take one opinion, and you stick with it, and you're safe. There are people, yichidim, yechidim that for a moment they put the tefillin on both hands. They put the tefillin primarily, they take one opinion, that's the primary, and for a few moments after davening, before davening, they move their tefillin shel rosh to the side, they take off their tefillin, and they turn it upside down, they put it on the other hand, and they wrap it on, then they put their tefillin shel rosh back in the proper place, and they say maybe Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then that's it, they're done. That's a chumah, that's an extreme chumah, which a few yechidim do, but the kids are here, is telling us the shita of the Ramah, that the ikur is the hand that you ride with. Now we come to a new complication, the imshelet b'shtei yadov, ambidextrous. You use both, you can do equal. And there's no greater strength in the left over the right over the left. Everything is the same. I can ride equally with both hands. I can bat, switch hitter, everything is the same. Then you follow the average person. Then you put on tefillin on your left, your physical left hand. Your left hand, we follow roif, since you're ambidextrous, so we go bossa roif oilam, roif oilam, the left is the left, you put on the weaker hand, which is the left hand. Fine. Let's say a person was born a full-fledged righty. And later you've trained yourself. Now you've only, here it says you've trained yourself to write. In other words, the beginning of the simin, Yud Beis, it says, Machmash, Shigulatz, Atzma, King, you're an Itter Gomor. That is a little bit confusing. When the simin, Yud Beis, began, he described an Itter Gomor. You are a full-fledged lefty, 100%, even if it's through training. It's not natural. It's not natural. Naturally, my right hand is stronger. But I've trained myself 100% to be a full-fledged lefty. Then you become a halachic lefty. No questions asked. Here he's saying, well, you've trained yourself to write with your left hand. So you're really ruining it for yourself. Because really, especially according to the Shita of the Ramah, according to the Ramah that says that writing is the ikar, that's the ikar when you write, if you're naturally a natural, you write naturally with your right hand, okay. So then, according to the Ramah, Kitzur Shulchan is going, you should do. But here, no, naturally, I write with the left. But I've trained myself to write with the right, the other way around, I naturally write with the right hand, but I've trained myself to write with my left hand, but everything else I continue to do with my right hand. So this already, he says, go like the Gra. This already says, so continue putting on tefillin on your left hand. But the oyster kol malacha b'yeminoi maniach b'smol shel kom. Too bad. You're going to have to put on tefillin on your left hand. Even though you've trained yourself to write with the left hand, so what? You're going to have to put on tefillin the same hand that you write with. It doesn't make any difference. Here's where we are going to follow the sheet of the Ramah.
Well, yeah, it's not, it doesn't go against the other one either.
Right, exactly.
With your right hand.
Exactly. Is you natural? You're still a natural. The proof that you're still a natural righty is that you continue to do everything else with your right hand.
Right. Could be like you had an injury.
Okay, whatever the reason is.
Right.
But you're still a natural righty.
A temporary.
You're a natural righty, and now you've temporarily learned how to write with your left hand. And you continue to write with the left hand, but it's still not natural. And the proof is because you're still doing everything else with your right hand.
Right.
So then the rule is you're still in halacha called a righty, and you put on tefillin on the physical left hand. Okay, so that pretty much concludes in a nutshell the rules of lefties and people that are ambidextrous and so on and so forth. Now we go into discusses some scary cases, Rahman al-Islam, people that do not have arms. And he brings out a lot of very interesting yesodos. Chav Gimel. On the bottom of the page, Chav Gimel. Itur Gomor. Okay, so he goes off the topic. He starts talking about Rahman al-Islam, but he brings out a yesodos of what exactly is the mitzvah of tefillin. Gideim. Gideim means a person does not have an arm. Rachman al-Tzlan is missing an arm. Now, there are different types of people that are missing arm. A person can be missing the arm all the way up from the armpit. And there are people, Rachman al-Tzlan, that can be missing from below the elbow. So two different types of Gideim is a generic term, which means a person is missing part of the arm. What part of the arm exactly is missing? So Gideim, she'ein lo yad rak zeroya. He does have the upper portion. The upper portion where you would tie the bias, the tefillin shel yad, yoniach b'loy bracha. So he says here, since there is nothing below the elbow, It's very, it's can bring out of your sight. What exactly we can learn a lot. What is the ikar mitzvah of kshira? The mitzvah is to tie, ukeshartam, to tie. So yiniach beloy bracha. Since there's nothing below the elbow, so that section is still called an arm to some degree. Put the tefillin on that part, but don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha lo niach because it's not an ikar kima of the mitzvah. Now you listen. Why can't you put the tefillin on the other arm, on the other arm, which is a full arm? Because that's not the weaker arm. The mitzvah is to put the tefillin on the weaker arm. We'll see it soon. A person Rachmana Litzlan doesn't have an arm altogether. You don't put tefillin nikar adin on the arm that you do have, because that's the strong arm. If a person only has one arm, that becomes the right. That becomes the halachic right hand. And the arm that is lacking, that is crippled, that is broken, that becomes the weaker hand. So here, where the weaker arm is missing everything below the elbow, it's not possible to do a proper kishira. Part of the tying of the tefillin involves tying it on the lower section of the arm below the elbow. If there is no part of the arm below the elbow, it is impossible to properly tie the ritzua, to tie the tefillin, so there's no requirement to put on tefillin altogether. What do you do that with the tefillin shel rosh? When you put on the tefillin, so we learned yesterday that the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh are two mitzvahs which are independent one of the other. When you put on the tefillin shel rosh, you make two brachos, v'yivarech al shel rosh, two brachos. Uve mishna bura kosav di'im nishak tzas min psisas yad shua kone koidem limirpak. If you have even a small, teeny amount of arm below the elbow, so that part you could do a kshira, then yivarech gamken, then you're in business, then the person can make a bracha of lehoniach tefillin, because you can be mekayim the inyan of kshira. You have a section of the arm below the elbow which you can tie the ritzua to, and it can be halachically considered to be a tying of the tefillin on the arm. Now, the im ein lo yad smolus legamri, achmana lasan, a person does not have an arm altogether, from the socket, from the elbow, everything is missing. Kosav, be, I don't know who this is, be, beis aleph hey tes, beshem, shailus shuvus harama, de potter, what?
Be, go
come here, yeah, be, hey tes, beshem, shailus shuvus harama, you potter entirely. There's no requirement whatsoever to put on tefillin at all on the shaliat, because where are you going to put it? You're not going to put it on the right, on the other hand, because the other hand automatically becomes your halakhic right hand. And there's no mitzvah to put it on the right hand. The mitzvah to put it on the weaker hand. There is no weaker hand. It's been removed from the socket. So then there's no, not only you don't make a bracha, there's nothing to do, period. You don't improvise and go put it on your shoulder, and you don't improvise and put it on the other hand, there's no need. However, I don't know what the law this is. He holds that no, when a person doesn't have a right hand or a left hand altogether, you only use one hand. Yadcha b'diavad can be interpreted to mean your hand. So the one hand that the person thus has is both the weaker and the stronger. I don't know exactly what it means. The tefillin are put on that one. Now, how is he going to do it exactly? He can use his teeth with help. But you don't make a bracha. One thing is certain, according to all opinions, a bracha is not to be made when one puts tefillin on the hand. He will make two brachos when he puts on the tefillah shel rosh. Okay, next.
What if somebody's wearing a
cast? Oh, so you're wearing a cast, so it goes on top of the cast. Person wearing a cast, he goes on top of the cast. On the cast.
So that's part of his hand.
That's part of his chatzitza. So you have no choice. So a chatzitza is a problem when you can take it away. If you can't take away the chatzitza, so then it's not necessarily in halacha viewed as a chatzitza. It's not considered chatzitza. You have to be very careful. That's filling this. That goes without saying. Be very, very careful. Bar mitzvah boys, takes time to get used to this, to make sure the sleeve does not go underneath the tefillin until you get used to it. But if you have a cast, and the cast, if you have a cast in the lower part, that's no big deal. So you're after it too. So that's not a problem altogether. That's not the ikar. But cast on top, so you have no choice. You put on the cast.
If you're allergic to leather, you can go on top of a shirt.
So you're allergic to put on top of a shirt. It's a very good question. It could be you can. Could be you can. I mean, today it's today. Today you just get. It's not an excuse anymore today, because today you, they make special tefillin for people that are allergic to leather. They treat it with some. I don't know. They treat it with something which takes care of the problem. But if you don't have it, you don't have them available, and you get an allergic reaction, and some people can be a sakana. The mamish can bleed out. It could be, then it's like a chaos. You have no choice. You need to put it on top of the shirt. Okay, let's see the next section, next page on the bottom. Umi sheniktu shtei yadav. Okay, Rachmano Litzlan, both arms are missing. Kasa b'shailus tshuvas b'sam rosh. Depart afil mishal rosh. Now this is incredible what it says here. Why? A person is missing both hands. Why? We just learned. We learned yesterday that the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh are independent one of another. So why? Very simple. How are you expected to tie with no hands? Even the tefillin shel yad, it's a chiddush. Why are you? So you're going to tie it with? How are you going to tie it? If you only have one hand, why should you be able to put on tefillin with one hand? How are you going to tie it on that? You can tie the tefillin shel rosh with one hand, but how are you going to tie tefillin on your one hand? So maybe you'll say no, that you can tie. You're very, very skillful in putting on. People with Guinness Book of World Records have done stranger things than this to somehow to tie it with one hand. To bend it, I don't know how you can bend your hair, but if a person doesn't have both hands, then it's not shachlin from shalosh to pata afil b'shalosh. The kevin she ef shaloi be'atzmi el al yidei acher loichivui hatoro lasas l'shtil toro is not mechaving to appoint an agent to tie the tefillin shalosh on your head. You can't be mechaving b'kasharitim. The word of kasharitim by definition means you have hands to tie. If you don't have hands to tie, you don't be pata afil mitfillin shalosh. However, not everyone agrees. B'shayilus v'tshuva shagas aryeh. Hello, the chayiv, he disagrees. He chayiv b'shal rosh. B'chein kos av b'emek Yehoshua, you are chayiv. So I guess you need, you have to ask someone to help you, and that is called ukasharatam. Tying on the shal rosh, they're independent one of another. Obviously, there's no chayiv t'il shal yad. There's shal rosh, fine. Umi shenikta lo yad yamin, pshita. A person doesn't have a right hand. So this is going back to what we said before. Pshita sheyivakeish me'achedim sheyanichenu lo yatfilna al tzmol, someone shall help you. Ve'ayin m'shas and shuvas avni nezer b'mi sheyavsho yodoy al ad she'ena moitzia tipas dam. Let's say a person's hand is shriveled. And it shriveled to the point where there's no circulation, there's no blood. The blood is not flowing in the arm, so there's just bone, just cartilage, there's nothing there. Is he mechuyev to put on tefillin on that hand? So he paskins, that's like the hand doesn't exist. If there's no life in the hand, blood does not even come out. If you would prick it, blood would not come out. Then, she'en mutsiyah tibastam havi kechosu l'gamri, pot l'gamri. And if there's no arm, that's the machlekes, do you put on tefillin on the other hand? And that's the machleik. So we quote on the previous page, if a person, Nachman al-Litzlan, does not have a hand altogether, is missing the left one of the hands, is he mechuyev to put on tefillin on the other hand without a bracha? That we quoted two different opinions. One says yes, one says not. The Torah b'plutz of Haramov Shus Yaakov Hanal, we said before. Or v'shals v'shuvis chesli avra mechalik ba. It depends. Diem amedes l'shrapo is chayiv. Amedes l'shrapo is havi kenechlech l'gpato. He's saying that if the hand is shriveled right now to the point where there's no circulation, but there is potential in the future that one day it will be revived, will be healed. I don't know exactly what that means exactly. If there's such a thing, then even now there's a chiv to put tefillin on that particular hand. Yeah.
I think it's
not
a problem now with bionic hands. Everyone has two bionic hands.
No, that's not a hand. A bionic hand. Six million. What was it called? That the guy.
$6 million
man. Gears of the Ankusa and bionic woman also, right? women don't wear a tefillin. What? What?
You were quite young then.
It was $6 million or $600,000? It was the $600 question.
For inflation.
Okay, no, that's not called a hand. A bionic hand is not called a hand, as far as I know. If a person has two bionic hands, science fiction, he is potter from tefillin, as it says over here. Even according to him from Shal Rosh, because that the Torah did not mechayiv you to make a shliach to tie on the tefillin Shal Rosh, but the Shagas Aryeh says, no, you are mechayiv. Okay, next halacha, Yud Gimel. Shiur Reich of Ritzua, the width. What is the width of the Ritzua? Bein Shal Rosh, Bein Shal Yad, Le Pachas Mi Oirech, the length of a barley, Misoira, or barley seed. And what is a barley seed? So it's something like half an inch. If I'm not mistaken, about even less. Less than half an inch. Our Ritzuos, I believe, are almost an inch.
Are they?
Wide. No? More even.
Between a half an inch to
our Ritzuos are not an inch wide?
No. Inch or so less than.
Okay. It is lepachos, so not less than the width of a soira. The sheer orkan, what's the case? Whatever that, whatever the sheer is, but the commentators tell us that today our Ritzuos are a lot wider than really what it means, the length of a barley, because we're very nervous today. We don't want the Ritzuos to shrivel, especially at the place where the knot, the kesher, is made. And if the width of the Ritzuos shrivels, it gets smaller than the length of a barley, the tefillin are posel. So therefore, we're very careful. We make the Ritzuos a little bit wider than they should be. There's no shear how wide the Ritzuos can be. But we discussed this. What's the trade-off? With everything in life is a trade-off. When you make wide Ritzuos, it's very hard. It doesn't sit well on the head. If you put a very thin, very narrow Ritzuos, it'll be very easy. Your tomb will feel on your head very secure. The leather on the head with the tefillin shalosh will be very, very tight. But because it's very wide, it doesn't sit well, it slips, and that's why many of us have no choice but to lower the knot into the hole below the bone. That is a trade-off which many of the posts can tell us is worth. It's worth it to have wider Ritzuos and not worry about them getting below the shear than having the dalet on the back of the tefillin shalosh be in exactly the proper location. Further, let's go further. So, what about the length? What is the length? The shalosh miyamin u'mismol ad hatibor or lamala menu ma'ad. According to the first opinion, the mishkit shulchan aruch goes until the navel. There's no difference. According to the first opinion, there's no difference between the right and the left. You make the knot, it goes on your head, you make the knot, and it must come down until the navel. If it does not make it to the navel, puzzle, according to the first opinion in the Ramah, and there's no difference, the right and the left. However, the Yeshamim, some disagree, the Shel Tzad Yamin, the right Ritzua, the Ritzua on the right shall be longer than the side of the left, and where at Hamila should go down until the Mila. We know that it's they're called an Os. Bris Mila is called an Os, and Tulin is called an Os, and we like to mingle the two Osos. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah will have this later on. It says it's proper to wear Tulin according to the Kitzur, according to the Mishnah Berurah, to wear Tulin at a time of Bris Mila. At a Bris Mila, you're not supposed to take off your Tulin for the Bris Mila. Everyone is supposed to be wearing the Tulin at a Bris Mila because Mila is an os, tefillin is an os, and we want the mingle two together. For whatever reason, many people today do not do this. They take off the tefillin. We'll see why. We'll see later on in many people's degree. But at least you do find it's very common to find that at least that the father, the Avi HaBen, and the Mohel, and the Sandik, they at least they should be wearing their tefillin at the time of Bris Mila. The Tzibur, some do and some do not, but when you're wearing the tefillin, you should recognize that the left Ritzua, according to the second opinion, is reaching down to the navel. What? It depends. Different people do different things. Some of them don't like it because it gets in their way.
Right.
It gets in the way. It's much more important that the moel should do a good job and the baby should not be in danger, then the moel should be wearing tefillin. That is a dover poshut. I mode even actually kach. Someone once told me that he was out of town. He was living. That's like 30 years ago, in Texas, Dallas, Texas. Not in the main. I don't know. It was 30 years ago. Today it's very different. Obviously, the community today has been built up. But he was living in a community where there was. Basically, it was a conservative community. There were not too many Shomer Shabbos people, and he had a child. He was living there, he just got married, he had a baby, and he needed a moel, and the only moel he can get was someone who was a conservative rabbi. A conservative rabbi who was a very, very good moel. He was a doctor, whatever it was, he really knew what he was doing. And the alternative was to get a yeshiva shagai, so a real Haredi. But he was a rookie. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the bucky. He asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, what should he do? Should he take the conservative person or should he take a Talmud Chacham who's questionable, his skills are questionable? He told him the conservative rabbi.
Right.
because when it comes to bris milah, what's important is it should be done right. That's the ikar. Obviously, it's a nice thing with have kavana, and the moil should go to mikvah, which many of them do. They go to mikvah before they do a bris milah, and they should have kavana, and they should be talmidei me they chachamim, yoreh shemayim. These are very holy things. But the bottom line is, what's important is safety. Safety first. Like UPS, safety first. That is what is important. And it's not ma'akev if the rabbi is not from the big Talmidei Chachamim.
Can both of them cooperate in the lulav?
What? Yeah. Halavai, you should have both. You should have both ma'alas. But if you can't, you can't. So here you have single. So the moil, a lot of moil and taku do not wear tefillin because they don't want it to get in their way. They want to be able to do it. They want to be very careful. But I've seen moyalim that wear tefillin. They take the ritzuos, they don't tie the ritzuos around their finger, they wrap it up, but they don't. Many of them don't find it to be getting in their way, they have it on very tight, also their talis, if you notice, they all wear talis. They all wear talis. Even the ones that are very, but they tie it up very tight. I mean, I've seen my olim come in doctor coats. I've seen it also. Do they wear a talis also? The ones who wear the doctor coats? I don't know, I don't remember. But I've seen those type of oilam usually get the oilam very nervous. The ones that come in doctor coats, I've seen plenty of those. I don't know, they get everyone nervous. They get everyone nervous. The ones that are more Hamish, they don't get people so as nervous. As long as you have confidence, just trust me. Just trust me on this one. What? Yeah, and it's not halacha. It's minhag. It's not halacha. It's
we don't.
No, they do. They don't wear a talus? They don't? Okay, alright. It's not halacha.
In the time of tefillah and after. And the
okay,
end
okay,
of the
there are different. There are different customs, there are different communities. Everyone does.
He does wear.
Everyone does what they're comfortable with. Let's go further.
But if it is in the daytime.
Okay, let's finish. Okay, let's. I want to at least finish. I don't want to. Let's finish this. Okay, let's. Vyesham some say the shall sagim into the tagiada mila. It should reach the mila. Why? Who is this? Shemush Rabba. The chain nochon lahachmer lichatchila. Lichatchila on the right should go down to the bismila. The shall yad. What is the shear? Let's say it breaks. It happens sometimes. You have an old pair of ritzuos and it snaps. Is it still kosher? So the shear is the shalyad. Kidei sheyahadko. You shall tie. Make the kasher on the shalyad. The yaspa zayin krichos. Here he says he's very machmir. The first opinion seven krichos al hazjaya. The gimel krichos al etzpa the chazka. Someone told me recently there of Moshe was very machmir. People should know this is that it's not called a Shira, unless you put the ritzua in. When you finish wrapping three times around your finger, many people, they get lazy. Put on the shalyat. They have an 18-minute shachris, right? They do seven times. They let it go three times around their finger. They wrap it, and they basically hold it. They hold the whole davening, and they daven very quick. That Rav Moshe held. I didn't see this in someone. Someone told me this name of Rav Moshe. He held. Ukeshartam leos al yedech. It has to be a kshira. The reason why you wrap around your finger three times is that's the shlemus of the kshira. If it's unraveled, it can easily unravel. That's not called a kshira. The conclusion of the kshira is when you tuck it in and when you move your hand freely, it's not going to unravel. If when you open up your hand, all of a sudden, all thing unravels and you put it down and unravels. Even though you've tied it. And you've seven times and three times on your finger, but let go. It unravels. That is not a fulfillment of the basics. Go back to the basics. The basics are ukeshartam. It shall be tied firmly upon your arm. Tuck it in. And he alludes to this. See, you won't appreciate this unless I have this Rav Moshe. He says, what's the shear? The ritzua. Tie it seven times. It doesn't say three times. Okay, you don't. Some people they put three times on the upper part of their arm, their very wide arm. That's not part of the Ikar Hadin. The Ikar Hadin, the shear is even if you like to make three times, your custom is to make three times above before you do the seven times. But that's not the required for the length of the ritzua to tie it seven times. Then you don't need to do anything fancy around your finger. Nothing. No fancy stuff around your arm. Just seven times, three times around the finger, and just stick it in somewhere. And then you can cut it, and that you have a ritzua shel yad that is halachically the correct length. And obviously, what? No, absolutely not. What is essential is only three times around the finger. Seven times around the hand, even seven times around is not essential. That will see a different opinion. Even three times around the hand is essential. He's saying here seven times is essential. And three times around the finger, plus a little bit more to tuck it in, it's not going to unravel. That's the shiur. Obviously, that means every person is different. Because you have Oig Melech HaBashan, it's a big arm, right? When he goes around one time, that's like for us going around 50 times. And then you have little people. You have small people, a bar mitzvah boy, some of these little bar mitzvah boys who have not yet had their growth spurt. The little boys, you know, they have a thick, it comes to the shul yad. By the time they get a little, they have a growth spurt, some of that thickness gets spent up on their arm. But in the meantime, seven times around a little arm, you know, it doesn't need to be that long.
Usually it looks eight.
Okay, that's another issue. Okay, it's half there. So you can do six, one here and one here, a total of seven. Different ways. There are different ways of calculating seven. But he does say, okay, this is a very important word, v'yachazka. Tie it. Don't let it dangle. Tie it underneath. The Yemnivskar Ritzur Bein Shal Rosh Bein Shal Yad Yaseh She'ela. You should go ask the Talmud, what's the Shal? What is he alluding to? He's alluding to, can you fix it? Can you fix it by stitching it? If it's cracked, it's possible. Let's talk about it. If it's not long enough, according to the Kitzur, if you don't have the requisite shear, it doesn't go to the navel. Finished. Puzzle. If it doesn't, if you can't go and take the ritsu and go seven times and then three times, puzzle. Let's say it snaps. Ask a shah. What are you going to ask? So he alludes to. He has this at the end of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The question is, can you stitch it? You go to a seamstress or go to a tailor. Take some thread. Take even whatever gidim, whatever you want, take even the best, take gidim, and take the ritsu and just stitch it together, connect it, or even glue it. So that's a very big shayla. If stitching in halacha helps, some say yes, some say not, some say if it was not yet roiv, if only a minority of the ritsu are split, let's say it's split, only a minority, then you can stitch up that minority. The majority, there are many different opinions, the bottom line is, we don't play around. If it snapped, no good. If you have nothing else, you're on a desert island, nothing else, okay, so then stitch it up, take some thread and sew it up until you get a new ritzuah. If only a small amount snapped, the minority, okay, it's not as bad. Basically, ask a shayla and they'll tell you, no good. But if you're on a desert island, so new, do it, stitch it up, and make a lechara. You can even make a bracha. It would seem that b'dieved, it's stitching up, you have no choice to make a bracha. Let's just see the bayik. I want to finish up. Yeah.
The tefillin shel yad is short. You cannot use the tefillin shel rosh.
Oh, we're going to come to that. Malim, because that's later on in kishon. Very good. We're going to come to that. Very good. Let's do chavdal and chafei. Let's see on the bottom. Chavdal lepachas me'achsor, not less than the size of a barley. Einim shal shuvus levusha mordechai dim nifskar ritzua b'ruchava. Okay, so he's over here. He's basically the sha'odim. Rabbi Bruan is filling us in what he means, Yasa She'ela. What is he filling us in? If the width is less than the size of a barley, it cracks. I guess that very poor quality with tzuas, leather cracks, and it's less possible. So he says again, always come and learn in kulis. He says something very interesting, which is good to know. That bidyavet, let's say that especially where does it often happen that the ritzua becomes less than the length of a barley seed? At the place where you make the knot. When you tie the kesher shel yad, has a tendency over time it shrivels. So he says, melamed zuchus. If you notice at the place where you tie it, it's less than the size of barley, it's less than a half an inch, get new ritzus. But bidyavet, don't be choshed a person that he was not mekayim the mitzvah, melamed zuchus al masha shachiyah. The place where you make the natural yad nifsak tzas birachlo, there it either cracks, it splits, or it shrivels. The cave on shehoya hashir, he says a concept, a svara. Shehoya hashir bitchilas asiyasan le nifsal acharkach it does not become possible later on. You see him, become welcome. You didactic, but you should still be careful. There's such a svara. And if the time, once upon a time, it was good, it's always good. Even though now it shrivels, it gets less than the size. The ikar is, it should start out with the proper size. If it shrivels, that's natural. Anything that's a natural process in this world is also natural in halacha. It's natural that as you tie it, it shrivels a little bit. It's okay, as long as you start out with a ritzu that was the right size. It's not ideal, don't rely upon that, you should go to the sofa and get a new pair of ritzuas, but in the meantime, the world does not come to an end. Kechof hei, Yasa Shailo, go ask the Talmud Chacham what to do. Kasav the Beroish, Besach Hashir Shemakif Haroish, and Yad Besach Hashir Shetekav Zroya, Kadesh Timtach Ad Etzba Im Tsois, Vichosham Gimel Kvichos, Loi Mahani Tfira. He talks about, like we said, stitching. What do you do, ask a Shaila? You want to stitch it, snapped. It snaps, you want to stitch it. It's not going to work. Now, when it comes to the Tefillin Shalyan, it's more machmir. But the Tefillin Shalyan, he says, Tefira is not going to help the entire length. From the part where you put it on your arm, 7 times, and the 3 fingers, if it snaps, you want to take some thread and stitch it together, it's no good. Because everything until the 3rd finger, until the 3 times around the finger, is all included in Kshartam. On the Tefillin Shalyan, it's very interesting. Okay, this is a very, very interesting yesoid to understand. And then you have this very big nafkamina. The Torah says to tie on the shel yad and to tie on the shel rosh. The only tying on the shel rosh is until the dalet. The part that comes out of the dalet and goes down until your navel and the mila, that's all extra. It's required. It's not a kosher ritzuah. You've not fulfilled the mitzvah, but that's not part of the din of ukeshartam, of tying. On the tefillin shel yad, every little bit of ritzuah is there for tying. The shear goes all the way until the 3rd finger. Everything afterwards is superfluous. You wrap it around because, you know, you have to wrap it around. You don't want it not going to be redacted. So you wrap it around a little bit more. But it's all, every bit of the chilek in the longness of what's the ritzua shel yad and the ritzua shel rosh. The ritzua shel yad is completely there for kishira until the very end. Mimela, any part of that ritzua snaps and you want to stitch it. Stitching snap leather is not cool leather that is suitable to be mekayim the mitzvah of kshira. But on the rituals of the tefillin shel rosh, the very good Torah for bar mitzvah pshetel, for tefillin shel rosh, the ritzua, there are tzvei dinim in the ritzua shel rosh. Until the part you come to the dalid, that's the din of kshira. You can't fasten the tefillin shel rosh on end until you get that dalet. But once you got the dalet, you're done. It's smooth sailing. I don't need this stuff coming down my neck and coming down over to my navel and going down to the mila. I don't need this. Why is it there? It's there for other reasons. You have a shin on the tefillin. You have 4 compartments. There are other reasons. There are a lot of mystical things about the tefillin which we don't know about. They're there. But it's not a din in the kashira. Nimela. There's much more ground for leniency in stitching together broken ritsua below the area of the dalids. Because until the area of the dalet is kshir, you need ritzu that's suitable for tying. But below the area of the dalet, you don't need it for tying. What's it there for? It's there for Kabbalistic reasons, but it's not for tying. So if it snaps, go take out. Carry a kit in your tefillin bag, a sewing kit, to tie the ritzus together. So let's see inside one more time. Yes, shall we tell the Russian the Russian be smack over Russian be at the Khadam Khafev so khashir shtem we zoy gday gday sh tintem khad at spam so is Russian give quick us loy magani tfi to resolve cause save the shall boy so the only until that part of the shall rosh of the dal it says with the to resolve cause save the shall rosh ein la hakal but to talk share he disagrees be a min ara tibo small ana khaz ayin shami disagrees the to resolve says am machmir. Not only am I machmir by the tefillah shel yad until all the way, even the tefillah shel rosh, I hold that the ritzua, it's true, it's not, you don't need it for kshira, but once it's there, it got to be perfect. Has to be roi for kshira, and you cannot stitch it. You can be lenient. That once that once you get past the part of the head that's makif the rosh, the dalit, you can be lenient. You don't have to be machmir. You know what? You can stitch if you to a snap after the dalit, you can stitch together. The ayin b'shem rokeach shehele gamkein dika b'ksak shochnoch. The ikar is to be lenient. Once you get past the dalit, you finish with the din kshira. Now you can stitch together any broken part of the ritzua until you get to the navel or until you get to the bris milah. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're up to you dalit.